If I gave my sermon or my talk a title, it would be Rivers and Trees, but I don't think we'll even get to the end of it anyway. I love to see the connections in Scripture. When I'm reading, I read habitually for years and years, I've read a Psalm, a chapter from the New Testament, and a chapter from the Old Testament. And I love to see them connect with each other. And there's often themes that are carried through. So a few weeks ago, I read a verse in the New Testament reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. And this is where Paul is talking about being unequally yoked. He says, "What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and make and walk among them. I will be their God and they will be my people." Also been talked about this morning. But the phrase I want to us to pay attention to is, "For we are the temple of the living God." Then in Ezekiel's a long book, 48 chapters. And Ezekiel has visions from God, and there's a vision that he has of the temple. And he speaks about exact measurements of this new temple for a few chapters, exact measurements. He goes into all this detail, and you just wonder, what's this all about? And then he comes to Ezekiel 47, and there I want to read the passage that he speaks about the temple. Ezekiel 47, verse 1. "The man brought me back to the entrance to the temple, and I saw water coming out from under the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the temple faced east." So I don't know if you've already realized that the connection between that scripture in 1 or 2 Corinthians had to do with the temple, and this has to do with the temple. "I saw water coming out from under the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the temple faced east. The water was coming down from under the south side of the temple, south of the altar. He then brought me out through the north gate and led me around the outside to the outer gate facing east, and the water was trickling from the south side. As the man went eastward with a measuring line in his hands, he measured off 1,000 cubits and then led me through water that was ankle deep. He measured off 1,000 cubits and led me through water that was knee deep. He measured off 1,000 and led me through water that was up to my waist. He measured off 1,000, but now it was a river that I could not cross because the water had risen and was deep enough to swim in, a river that no one could cross. He asked me, 'Son of man, do you see this?' And then he led me back to the bank of the river. When I arrived there, I saw a great number of trees on each side of the river. He said to me, 'This water flows toward the eastern region and goes down into the Arabah, where it enters the Dead Sea. When it empties into the sea, the salty water there becomes fresh. Swarms of living creatures will live there wherever the river flows. There will be large numbers of fish, because this water flows and makes the salt water fresh. This water flows there and makes the salt water fresh. So where the river flows, everything will live. Fishermen will stand along the shore from En-Gedi to En-Eglaim. There will be places for spreading nets. The fish will be of many kinds, like the fish of the Mediterranean Sea. But the swamps and the marshes will not become fresh. They will be left for salt. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow along both banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. Every month they will bear fruit, because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Their fruit will serve for food, and their leaves for healing." So that reminded me of a verse that took me to a verse that I want to read from the book of John, On the last and greatest day of the feast or the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. A little earlier in John, he was talking to the Samaritan woman, and he also talked about water. "But whoever drinks the water that I will give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." So just going back to Ezekiel now, what was Ezekiel seeing in this passage about the river that was flowing out of the temple? "I'm taking that river to be the Spirit in us." First of all, he sees a trickle. Maybe we go back to Jesus and his disciples and his promising the Holy Spirit to his disciples and to all those who believed in him. In the book of Acts, we read about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the 120 who met in the upper room. And before we knew it, there were 3,000 who believed, and then 5,000. And then they went from there all over Judea, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So this is what I take to be that river of the Spirit that starts small. It's just like one of the parables that Jesus talked about the smallest seed, the mustard seed, that grows into this big tree where the birds of the air can nest in. It's got an amazing way of multiplying or of increasing in volume and size. Maybe it's something about the time that's involved in this happening. Over the centuries, we have seen this gospel of the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom spread by the power of the Holy Spirit through this whole world and continues to be preached throughout the whole world. So I just want to take a few of the verses from that chapter in Ezekiel 47 and speak about them just a little bit. We talked about the different heights, the different heights of the water and how it kept on increasing. It wasn't fed by tributaries. When water flows from somewhere and spreads out and it should get shallower, but it got deeper. And so this is probably indication that God was doing something miraculous through his people who were filled with his Spirit. I think this is what Ezekiel was being shown. And then he talks about the trees. I won't get into that right now. We may not get there. But that the river entered the Dead Sea. What is the Dead Sea? I'm thinking it could be indicative of Israel at the time when Jesus came. They were very much in dead religion and needed awakening. A few people came to Jesus, and he began to teach and preach the living water in Israel. When it emptied into the sea, the salty water there became fresh. The word in Hebrew for becoming fresh is actually the waters were healed. So we know that a large part of Jesus' ministry was healing ministry, and that's what caught the attention and caused the crowds to see the power of Jesus and to see that he was worth listening to. Swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. There will be large numbers of fish because the water flows there and makes the salt water fresh. So where the river flows, everything will live. Speaking about fish, what did Jesus do? when he told his disciples, I will make you fishers of men. And so we see that there were fishermen along the shores of the Dead Sea, whatever that means. When the water became fresh, they began catching many fish. And they were fish of all different kinds, speaking perhaps of not just the Jewish people who thought they were it, but spreading to Samaria, spreading into the known world at that time, from Jerusalem to Judea and Samaria and into the ends of the world. So fish of many different kinds. I think one of the parables that Jesus told was of the kingdom was like a net for catching fish. And he caught a lot of fish and threw out those that were worthless and kept those that were to be kept. Fishermen stand along that shore from Engedi to Eneglaim. There will be places for spreading nets. The fish will be of many kinds, like the fish of the Mediterranean Sea. And then we go to the idea of fruit trees. But I want to take a bit of a different tack this morning. We've got a couple with us, Eric and Caroline, who have been on a bit of a strange fishing trip. Eric loves fishing, and I think your whole family loves fishing. In fact, I understand that you even got this trailer that you park along the lake somewhere and stay there and make a fire at night and go fishing during the day. I don't know how the fishing has been, but they went on a bit of a strange fishing trip this last weekend, and they're going to talk a little bit about that. So why don't you come up and just share something of that, what you experienced.
Looks very formal. So yeah, we heard from Ali's friend. She texted her about this a kickstart that the Last Reformation. It's a movement that basically follows the Acts Church and believes in going and doing and spreading the gospel, healing sick, casting out demons. So they have a kickstart. Normally there's a bunch of people in Abbotsford, and the guy felt Saskatchewan. God is calling him to Saskatchewan. And he went, when he came here, he, did a kickstart meeting. But when we went there, there's a bunch of people there. And it's so refreshing when you get into, when you're amongst other believers that's really hungry for God and hungry to see God reveal himself to the world. I'm going to cry at some point. Yeah, just the eye-opener to see the hunger. Like, I've been in Saskatoon, like, every month we go once, we do our shopping, and we drive around the city, so you don't see much. Sometimes you see a beggar on the street, but when you go to the middle of Saskatoon, there is so much pain, and people on the street really hurting, and I'm sorry. I'm going to need something else. You can continue.
Okay. So, yeah. So, it was an outdoor church. We gathered in a park. It was the Memorial something park that we gathered outside. And, it was a three-day, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And it was about healing, casting out demons, and spreading the gospel. Those were the three topics over the weekend. And so as we gathered outside, it was a small group, you can see there's some people that is like, what's happening here? They would take a few turns around where we sat. And yeah, he could see definitely there is a hunger there. So yeah, anyway, and I don't know if you want to take...
Sorry, I'm just going to quickly read 1 John 2, verse 3 to 6. It says, the test of knowing him. Now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. And by this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him, ought himself also to walk just as he walked. If you read through 1 John, that's kind of scary, because you have to search your heart and see, are you really walking as Jesus walked? What's happening with most Christians, we go to church, we sit in the pews, we sit and listen to someone else, we go out the door and we start our week. We were called to be the church, not go to church. Go to church is important to build us, but be the church when you're out there. And like, it's really humbling when you walk in the streets and you see the pain. Like, you get so much opposition, people, when you talk to them, they're like, nah, I don't want to hear nothing. Well, not a person of peace, just keep on walking. Next guy.
Yeah.
So the first day we did that, we were walking kind of, the guy we went with, the leader of this thing, we went with him. So we were split up in a lot of small groups and we walked with him, and he walked up to every single guy because we're talking about healing and he wanted to show healing. But God had other plans. It wasn't about healing. Like, he kept pushing to someone needing healing, but there were people needing other stuff. So the next day he repented. He's like, no, I put God in a box. He's not. Yeah. Anyway, and the second day, when we went out, we met a guy, Cole. Same, we went out to practice casting out of demons. And we came to this one guy, and when we passed by, there's a guy in an alley. And it's just, you feel God calling you to this person's now. So then we went out with the other guy, with the other leader of this thing. And he had a whole different approach. He came and he went to like, he would walk and pray. And when God called him to someone, he would go to that person. That day we didn't have much opposition, really.
No, we didn't.
It was like, you know, when God called you to a person, then it's fine. So they were receiving it, and we ended up praying with the guy. He shared a bunch. It was very difficult to hear him. He spoke very softly. But we got to share with him. And we asked him, does he need healing in his body? Is there anything hurting? And he said he was in a car accident. His neck was all messed up. And he showed us the scar and stuff from years ago. And really in pain. And, well, this guy said I should pray for him, so I prayed for him. I just laid my hand gently on his neck, and I commanded it, like, the pain and stuff to go and to be healed, whatever. And
as he prayed for this guy while holding his hand, you can see there's something that is disturbing in this guy. Every time he prayed for him, he would go like this.
But yeah, you'd start here, basically, and it's just like that, and he'd go, and at the end of the day, he's like down here, like,
yeah,
never mind. Right. First time I asked him, how does it feel? He needs to be honest, and he said, it feels way better, and it's a little bit more, still a little bit pain. I said, well, we pray again, and then he said, now it's good, we just quickly pray again.
But both times when he prayed for this guy, he went down, so this, told us you should pray with your eyes open so that you can see if the person has any glinch or a facial expression that shows demons or reactions in a body that shows demons. And
you'll see a manifestation.
Yes.
But anyway, so yeah, we got to share with him, and guy's name is Cole. Next day, but that was a very short. We went out for 30 minutes or something. That was really short after the teaching. But while we're praying there in this circle, you can see the world is drawn to it. There's people hurting. They're drawn to it. It's like a moth to a flame. When you sit there as a church together and outside and you're living the gospel, it sounds to me is like what Jesus did. He didn't go in an enclosed building and no one see what he's doing, and he's sitting there praying and teaching and just by himself. He went into the world and in between sinners, because he said he came for the sick, not for those what the sick needs a physician, not
the lady.
Oh yeah, that I don't want to make it a long story. That always happens to be a long story. There was a lady coming this Saturday. She went to sit on one of the benches there while we're gathered, and afterwards she asked, she needs prayer because she hears voices that she wants to kill herself and she needs to go kill herself, and she's, I don't know, hurt herself, I don't know. She had a relapse into 2 days before she used drugs again, and she felt really guilty about it because she's actually been baptized already and gave her life to Christ, and then she fell back into sin or wasn't completely free from it to begin with. And so we went to pray with her, but she wouldn't make any eye contact. She would sit like this, but it was also what she told us after is she was sexually abused when she was younger and a bunch of stuff, bad things in the past. It's an indigenous girl. But she would sit with sunglasses on like this, and Jordan was sitting on this guy, on this side, the guy leading the thing, and he was telling her to renounce a bunch of stuff from their witchcraft side. And she's renouncing things. She's still doing it, but she looks like she's angry, and she's sitting like this, and she doesn't make eye contact. She would speak what he says, but like a dead tone of voice. But we prayed for her, and then we called her in, and you could just see the love of the Christians for that girl, like the real compassion for her and talking to her. And there's some of the ladies there were hugging her, and one lady were hugging her. She's probably standing with her like half an hour just loving on her. The next day that girl came to the meeting like by herself. She came and she's excited and no glasses and eye contact,
smiling,
and greet you smiling,
so amazing.
Like so happy. And she went to the streets with us. Like that was like, When we were sitting there ministering to her, I just felt like I didn't know what to say. I felt like, what do you do? Like, I didn't feel like I have the tools to minister to her. Like, I can say a bunch of scripture, that's what I did, and I told the testimony and stuff, but like, you want to see it happen right there, and that's not how it works. So, like, it's what the scripture says, one sows, one waters, God brings the increase. So that increase came in a day, so that was pretty quick. So anyway, the next day she's dancing around while we're ministering on the streets, like she's like not drunken dancing, like really happy and shining. That was so nice to see. On the Sunday we went out, we were walking, we were going to go with the street preacher because there's a guy preaching there every Sunday. And we're walking up Midtown. And there's a guy, when we're walking up, I already feel drawn to this guy to stop at him and just quickly speak to him. And as we're coming, he says, hello, beautiful family. Totally not drugged, not nothing. Like most people there is drugged and in a stupor there.
Yeah.
But
yes,
I was with my kids.
Yeah. Everywhere we go, we went with our kids. Yeah.
And anyway, you can quickly tell that a little bit.
Oh, okay. So anyway, and so he said, hello, beautiful family. And then he asked with a real humble voice, can you please buy me a food?
Money.
So he waited first. He asked for money. And then we said we didn't have money, but he carried his card with him. So we said, we can go and, oh, what do you need it for? You want food, he asked, a sandwich or something. And we said, no, we can go buy for him a sandwich, but we don't know the place. Where can we go and buy for you a sandwich? So he actually sat next to a coffee shop. And yeah, and then before we went, he also asked again if we can buy him a coffee. And then he's like, or is it too much to ask? But he asked it in such a way that you just
really
melted in your heart and you just want to give it all.
That time I'm just like, dude, just take my wallet.
Yeah, it was so beautiful the way that he asked. He, so anyway, so we went into the coffee shop and went to buy him a sandwich and coffee. And then one of the leaders came in and he was singing a beautiful gospel song. I didn't know the song that he sang, but he sang it so loud. And it just showed me he's not ashamed. And we should not be ashamed wherever we go. Anyway, and this, what do you call the guy on the counter side?
What do you call barista or something? What do you call it in English? Barista? Probably.
I don't know, yeah. So anyway, and you can see he is starting to have a move with this guy that is singing, and they ask him to sing a little bit louder. I don't know if he's a Christian or not, anyway. But it was just so amazing just to see. And I mean, sometimes you walk in the streets and you feel maybe a song in your heart, and then you feel, oh, okay, I don't want to do it because I feel scared, ashamed, or whatever the case is. So anyway, that was just an eye-opener for us. Anyway, so yeah, and then we went back outside. You could not.
Anyway, we gave him the bread and his coffee. And we asked him if he needs prayer for anything. And he's like, he's going through a tough time, if we can pray for, what was it, for peace and for, I don't know, but he's going through a tough time. According to his lawyer, he's going to jail and like the whole thing. But the guy is open to talk, and we asked him, can we sit down next to you? And he said, yeah. And we're sitting down, and it ended up, we're speaking to that guy. I think it was at least, it was close to an hour. And he's just opening up. Now and then you have to just correct stuff he says, because it's a little bit mixed up into the indigenous, because he knows about Jesus and he actually know the Bible pretty well. But I don't know if he was grown up Catholic or how does that work? Why does he know the Bible that well? Because he actually knew, he read the whole thing.
Yeah.
But he doesn't believe that Jesus is the Son of God and he came for his sins. And at some point he asked us, he's like, he tells the story of Paul, of Saul that became Paul, and he's like, how can God forgive him? But him, his name is Joshua. He says, Joshua can't be forgiven. And it's like, it just breaks your heart thinking they don't know the love of Christ that came for him. And anyway, we got to minister for him. At the end of it, he actually invited us to walk with him, because he was going to meet some other friends and family, whatever, up the street. And he felt comfortable enough to actually invite us with him and introduced us to the rest of his family. And like for the natives, what I saw in the street is mostly they're like, no, you're a white guy. Like it's a different thing. So it was really humbling to see this guy opening up.
Yeah.
And anyway, somehow this guy from the coffee shop, I don't know, was he looking or what was happening? I came around as I walked up the street. There's some trash laying on the street. I'm like, well, there's a bin right there. I'm just picking it up and throwing it in the bin while we're walking. And then I walked further and there's some more. I thought, oh, well, I'll just pick this up. There's probably a bin up there. And I got up there and there's no bin. I had to turn around, walk all the way down to the bin again to throw it away. Like, I already got it, man. I'm going to throw it on the street again. So I'm walking all the way back to the coffee shop where the bin is. As I walk over the street to the coffee shop, This guy from the coffee shop is standing outside with a cup of coffee in his hand. He's like, he tells me, no, he had an extra cup of coffee if I wanted. I'm like, coffee shop, just have an extra cup of coffee.
And he was not
around.
Busy that he was not busy can at make all. A mistake or anything. It was super quiet in the
like,
coffee shop.
Okay.
So it was just like, oh.
That was kind of nice. Anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, just what I realized is we need to be bold about speaking, spreading the gospel, even where we're planted in our community between people, because we're so afraid. What I told Ken the other day is what's happening. We as Christians live a sheltered lifestyle. We're like inside the church, okay, we're praising God here, and then we go home. But when we go into other people that we know for sure aren't Christians, what are we doing? We're taking our little lamp, covering it up, because no, it's going to be awkward to discuss stuff like this. It says spread the gospel in season and out of season. And we're putting it under that little lamp, over the little lamp. And then when we see another Christian, we'll kind of just open it up a little bit so you can just, okay, I know Dougie's a Christian, so I'll just show him. I'm a little Christian, but no, this guy can't see that I'm talking to you about that now. So, but that's what we do. So, take the thing off. Like, who cares if people think you're crazy? Who cares if they think you're out for lunch or, like, whatever. Like, it's just, if we don't start shining for Christ and being open with our, like, bearing fruit inside the world. What Jesus did is he went out. He didn't go and advertise, put up posters everywhere as he's walking to get the world to follow him. They followed him because he was bearing fruit that the world wants. So yeah. Anyway, the compassion, and moved by compassion, that's in Matthew 9, says the compassion of Jesus. That to me is a big thing, because when we were walking in the street, it's like you feel the love of God towards a person as you're walking, and it's just when you're open to listening. You feel it, and when you actually act, it's really, I don't know, uplifting for you, for yourself as well, when you spread it, and when you're actually obedient to the word of God and spreading the gospel. So that actually is for yourself as well, it stirs up your spirit. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers in his harvest." When Jesus was saying this, him and his disciples were already laborers in the harvest. So I don't believe that Christians should be sitting here and think, okay, let's just pray this thing so God will send someone else out. You go out. We go out. When we go to the city to do our shopping, just be open-minded. Just ask the Holy Spirit to reveal someone to you while you're walking in the city. Just reveal someone. Even if it's one person. Because what we used to do when we go to the city, it's like rush, rush, rush through the city. You got 50 stops going through the city. And you run out of the city and you see someone. And the Holy Spirit will tell you, there's someone that needs speaking to. But you're like, no, God, I'm busy. You're going. That's unfortunately the reality. But if we can stop, just stop for a second, and realize God's love for that person, he will stop you in your tracks and you'll actually go and be fruitful. Anyway, so I pray that we will continue to be fruitful and that the church would be alive. Anyway. Sorry for the long story.
Thank you, Eric and Carolyn, and Vinant and Gerhard as well. You are so good to see you as a family out there. We catch your enthusiasm. We catch, and something I guess that we observe is that when you get in on the joy of seeing the love of Jesus spread around and even seeing some things that may not seem major difference, but we notice the joy in you, and we pray that it's going to rub off. I just want to go back to that verse from the Gospel of John. On the last and greatest day of the feast or festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, he stood. Usually when he was teaching, he sat down and taught. But there's a sense of urgency when he say that he stood. And he said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. And that line that stood out from Ezekiel 47, wherever the river went, it brought life. So that's for all of us. Wherever we go, we bring life. I'm thinking of Wes and Wendy in Calgary visiting Bob, who's got terminal cancer, believing that they may be praying for healing. But they're bringing life. They maybe pray for healing. They'll pray for sure that he'll experience the love of Jesus and give his life to Jesus. So that's my concern in just praying for Wes and Wendy, because they have the life, they have the river of life flowing in them and through them. And wherever they go, wherever we go, we bring that life. Something that life is brought in many different ways, but we have it within. And we have it to give away. Thanks, Eric and Caroline. Bless you. Lord, we just want to receive your word to us this morning. Whoever is thirsty, Lord, we sometimes even aren't thirsty enough for you. We need to even ask to take away the appetite for all the other things which so easily distract us and make this thirst for you become the dominating force in our lives, so that you can give us this water to drink that's truly satisfies. We can tell from Eric and Caroline's countenance, Lord, that what they did, what they experienced was satisfying, was fulfilling, brought great joy. And many of us probably are missing out on the joy that could be ours by not being freer to share the good news of Jesus. So, Lord, help us to realize that you have made available this river to run into us, to run out of us, and to bring life to our circle of people where we live in this community. Dawn read about God coming to dwell in the neighborhood. This is how you do it, Lord, through us, by us bringing life to the people in our communities. So, Lord, we need your help. We just ask for your blessing on us as we think about these things and ask for you to give us the boldness and the strength, the desire to fulfill your will. Let it be done in Jesus' name. Amen.